Crowd is a little thin right now, but we'll go ahead and get started. It's a touch of after four. We would like to welcome everybody back this afternoon for our second period of worship today. Just a couple of announcements and before we jump into things. Want to continue to make mention the Lichtenbergs are not able to be with us due to illness in the family. TJ Craig, also not here. He's traveling for business. Just as far as other thoughts, the order of worship this afternoon. Warren Wright was supposed to have the opening prayer. I don't see him in attendance right now, so Tim, I'll ask if you could handle that for us. Keith was supposed to be doing the Lord's Supper. If he's not here, I will take care of that. As far as the song service this afternoon, Tony Barron will be leading that. Mark Nevins is pinch hitting for us on the closing prayer, Chuck covering the lesson of the hour as per usual. Did want to make mention as well, Chuck will be out of town next weekend for another meeting, so we do have Brett Berger and Keith, I think, filling in for him next weekend. So we do have some gaps coming up for that period, and then a couple weeks further on out, we'll have opportunities for none of the congregation to get involved. Nobody mentioned anything else to me this afternoon that we didn't reference this morning. If there's anything that does need to be announced, that can be handled at the end of service this afternoon. At this time, I'll turn things over to our song leader.
Five eighty-three. Sing to me of everything that song of peace, from the toils that by me it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so, showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me finally dream of its golden glory, of its unearthly gleams. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest songs of all. Sing to me of heaven as I walk alone, dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone. In a fairer region among the angels throng, they are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its brotherly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest songs of all. Sing to me of heaven, tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its brotherly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest songs of all.
513. See the song before our opening prayer. 513. One step at a time, dear Savior,
I cannot take any more. The flesh is so weak and hopeless, I know not what is before. One step at a time, dear Savior, till faith grows stronger in thee. One step at a time, dear Savior, till hope grows stronger in thee. One step at a time, dear Savior, I am not walking by sight. He stepped with my soul, dear Savior, I walk by faith in my mind. One step at a time, dear Savior, till faith grows stronger in me. Dear Savior, till hope grows stronger in me. One step at a time, dear Savior, oh guard my faltering feet. Keep hold of my hand, dear Savior, till I my journey complete. One step at a time, dear Savior, till faith grows stronger in thee. One step at a time, dear Savior, till hope grows stronger in me. One step at a time, dear Savior, thou knowest all of my fear. One word from thy heart, dear Savior, and heaven's mansions appear.
Father, our God, our Creator, we are so thankful that you've allowed us this time to be together here to associate with fellow Christians and to lift songs of praise to you. Songs like we just sang, Father, one step at a time, that we know that it's a process, Father, of each day we have to awake, renewed and refreshed. We thank you for the opportunity that you give us each day with each day of life that we can go out to the world to do your will. And we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the love that he had for us, that he died, and we might have that opportunity for that home in heaven that we're striving for each day. We just take one step at a time, and we look back on you, Father, and ask you for support each day. We know the tribulations are there. We know struggles will be there, and Satan will not give up. And we ask that you'll continue to bless us in our efforts to serve you, Father. We're here as a congregation of Christians, striving so hard to do your will. We pray that you'll help us to always stand for the truth here, that we never waver, and help us to always check ourselves by always going to your word, Father, and looking for the truth that is within us, that we might abide in it only and not waver from it, Father. We pray that you'll be with those of our number who are sick, who are not with us at this time, that their health be restored to them. We pray for, we thank you for the health that's been given back to Brother Warren and Little Piper. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to pray for each other in times of our of need, and that we'll make that known to each other when we have those issues in our lives and concerns that can only be helped by brothers and sisters in Christ, praying to you, Father, that your will might be done in them recovering their health. Father, we pray that we'll always teach the truth. There's so many people losing their lives to Satan out there in the world, Father, and we pray that you help us be that shining light, that example to someone that they might ask what's different about us, that they might ask how they can change their life for the better, and we can point them to you, Father, and let them know that there's a hope, the hope that we just sang about, the hope in heaven for that home that you prepared for us if we are faithful until death. Father, we pray that you'll help us with the upcoming building that we're striving to procure. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have to have a place to worship in at this time, and we pray that you'll help us in our endeavors to find a permanent place and secure that place, Father. We might have that the building, that security that's there within it. We know, Father, that no matter where we meet, no matter where we are, that you're with us, and we worship you. And we ask that you'd be with us during this hour, that you look down upon us with favor and find us driving hard to please you, Father. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
For the those here need to take the Lord's Supper this evening. 726. We saw thee not
when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy God in show in that despised and but we believe thy footsteps trod in streets and plains, thou Son of God. But we believe thy footsteps trod in streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive, they know not what they do. But we believe thy deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We gaze not in the open tomb where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw the end that upper met thee on the open way. But we believe that angels said, why seek the living with the dead? But we believe that angels said, why seek the living with the dead? We walk not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wandering view, then low to earth all prostrate men. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies.
prepare for those Christians who were unable to take it this morning. If there be any present, could you raise your hand this time? Let's get things to the breath. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time thanking you so much for the great blessing that was shown on our behalf by your Son and our Savior, Jesus. We thank you so much for his willingness to come to this earth and the love that he's shown and the obedience he showed to follow your will and to carry out your plan, Father. And we realize that without that sacrifice made on our behalf, that we would be separated from you eternally, Father. We thank you for this bread, which represents his broken body, freely given upon the cross. We pray that as we partake of it, that we proclaim his death, and that we do so in a way that's pleasing unto you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer again, thanking you so much for this fruit of the vine, which represents your Son's blood that was freely shed upon the cross. We pray, Father, that as we partake of this emblem, that we do so in a way that is pleasing unto you. In your Son's name we pray. Concludes the Lord's Supper. The collection plate will be left available for those who weren't able to give this morning.
You're willing and able, we'll stand and sing 722. 722, we'll sing all four verses before Brother Chuck brings us our lesson. 722. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bring the news to every land, climb the seas and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Wanted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Thousand sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean waves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing his song through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. be seated. The song of invitation will be 346. 346.
Good to see everyone out tonight. Let me see, we can account for a few. Warren, we were all surprised to see him out this morning. And I'm sure he's home still recovering from his operation earlier in the week on Wednesday. And, of course, we know Piper, what she went through this week. She just needs some time to... Well, no sooner did I say, and there's maybe at least Tina that just pulled in. I don't know if Warren's with her. Let me see, the Kaysons are out of town. They went up to Bloomington to see their daughter. And, of course, Aaron is out of town. He's slacking. He's up there preaching. No, he's up. So he's preaching this afternoon up in Ohio. Well, no, it's the Ohio Street in Illinois. It'd be a little confusing. But that's where he is. And there's a few others out and about, but we're just glad you're all here tonight as we study the scriptures this evening. I want to encourage you to take hold of your Bibles. We're going to look at a couple of introductory passages, and then we'll talk about the direction that we're going. In John chapter 2 and in Matthew, have John chapter 2 open and Matthew 21. I'm going to leave this last song because I know I'm going to be doing some drawing tonight, but that is our invitation. Let me just put it up here. 346 so we don't forget. And then we'll have the whole board to do some drawing tonight. One of the members here, I know he won't want me to identify him. You know, I won't say the color of his shirt or anything, but it was great. Just wanted to talk. I forget when it was. I think it was last weekend or last Wednesday. I still remember. But came up and wanted to talk a little bit about the process that we're going through in purchasing this building that we hope to get a hold of and get out of this library. It was great, you know, and for a lot of that, what was really interesting about that, I just kind of remained quiet because the person had already thought it through and was already presenting some of his conclusions, and I just kind of sat there and went, yeah, that's right, you know, basically all I did. But, you know, I got thinking about that and thinking about the idea that, well, you know, it's always good to examine things and make sure that what we're doing is right. Remember the sermon, guys? I don't know who will remember, but I had a sermon a long time ago. It's been a long time. Called Testing the Testing. Does that ring a bell? You guys remember that? And what I did was we often talked about authority, how that we use terms like direct command, necessary inference, approved example, general and specific. And I said, you know, we use that as a standard, but, you know, we should check to see if the standard works. You know, test the testing. It's kind of like if I had a little bottle of water or a mixture here that's blue, and I said, you know, if I take an eye drop and put that in your water, it means you've got poison in your water if it turns orange. Well, how do you know that? What's in this? Let's test this out first. You might be just shooting me some kind of line. And that's true. We need to test things to make sure what we're doing is the right thing. And it's never a wrong thing to test things. We're told that in 1 John. We're getting to those two passages. Hold on. But in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, test the spirits to see whether the things are so. We need to make sure, guys, that we just don't do something because other people do it. A lot of things I'm going to be talking about tonight, we could basically be saying, man, I know thousands of churches that do it. Solid congregations that do the same thing. That doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't prove it. We just need to make sure that what we do is acceptable to God. Because I'm kind of excited about it because we're starting this week. And I'm going to tell you about some things that are going to be happening this week. But let's first read these two passages. I know you're there. I'm not. So just wait a second because I was talking about some other things. So there's the John 2 passage. And then again, like I said, have that Matthew chapter 21 passage. We'll just read them back to back and talk about these quickly. Kind of an introduction. Okay, what will I read first? John 2 and 13 through 17 is our first text. John 2, 13 through 17. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. All right, hold that thought. Now we turn back to Matthew chapter 21, and I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. Well, let's back up a little bit. No, 12 and 13 will work. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Okay, so we have the den of thieves concept and then, of course, house of merchandise. I really call this sermon a house of merchandise. We don't want to do that. We don't want to turn the Lord's body into a den of thieves. We don't want to turn the Lord's body here into a house of merchandise. What are we going to do? What could we do to be guilty of that? Well, we'll talk about that as this unfolds. The church is not in the business of making profit. Thus comes the concept non-profit. Okay? We're a non-profit organization. The government understands that. But, you know, we answer to something higher than the government. We answer to our Lord. Okay? And so, let me explain some of the things that we're going to be doing, and then we're just going to follow the thought process through all of this and see what the church is going to do and whether we have authority to do. Okay. So, we have a building that we're looking to buy. Okay? Church wants to purchase this, and it's X amount of dollars. What we're excited about doing this week, and we're letting a lot of people know, and I want you to talk to people that you know, because the sky's the limit on this. Well, it's limited, you know, because we will eventually say, no, enough, okay? We want this place to worship at. We as a church. But it's like anything. We have to be frugal. We have to think the way the Lord wants us to and be good stewards of the Lord's money. Therefore, if this building over here was $1 million, we would say, bye-bye. Okay? It's kind of like doing our TV program. Why are we doing the TV program? Because it's only, well, I can't remember right now, it's X amount of dollars a week. Well, I know the radio program, it's 50, so there's a figure. Now, what if the radio program is going to be $700 a week? Bye-bye. We can't afford that. So we look at our budget, and we look at what we can afford, and we go from there. The local church, we talked about the need to lay by and store this morning. We talked about the contribution. We talked about the work of the church. Now, when we're talking about a church over here, this is us, right? This is what's represented here. Don't count the dots, but it just represents us. I'm the small dot. But anyway, so we want to purchase this. All right, so keep that in mind. How are we gonna do that? Well, we have our own contribution, right? We have our own set of funds that we've been saving. All right, so let's work through this. So we know the church is not in a money-making business. The church is self-governing. Now remember that. First Peter, guys, as we go through this, these are principles that we need to keep in mind as we talk about it. Now listen. I really wanted just to stop after Tony led the last song and say, okay, now worship's over. We're having a Bible study. And they have a lot of participation. Well, we won't kind of do that because that kind of throw people and go, what? Anyways, but do stick around because if you have questions after the sermon, I want you to come up. We'll talk about it. We'll think it through, all right? Because we want to understand what the Bible has to say. And we don't want anybody to sin. And we most certainly don't want to sin. So let's just make sure we're doing the right thing. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says in verse 1, the elders who are among you. Did you get that? The elders who are among you. He's going to use that phrase again in a moment. I exhort, I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, here it is, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint, but willing, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not being lords over those entrusted to you. Who? Those that are among you. If you have elders here, we have elders here and deacons. But the point is, those that are among you. Church autonomy needs to be respected. This is your work. No other group over here is going to tell you what to do. So what have we learned so far? Well, we don't want to be a house of merchandise. We don't want to be a den of thieves. We need to understand that we have a budget. We have things to do, like what? Evangelism, edification, and benevolence. There it is, right? There it is in a nutshell. We've been studying it on Sunday mornings. It's been a great study. Helps us to think it through. Our monies are limited. We know that they're limited, right? We know that from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. Help your own family members and don't let the church be charged. There are limitations. We get that. Is it wrong to have a building? Well, we're dealing with this. We need to talk about it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you since you come together. You're coming together. Not for the better, but for the worse. That's another lesson. Verse 18. First of all, when you come together as a church. We have come together as a church. Where did the Corinthian brethren come together as a church? I don't know where they came together. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, isn't there? You have Romans. A Romans possibility. What's a Romans possibility? Go to Romans chapter 16. There it is. Verse 3. Romans 16 and verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who have risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I have given thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And so we could be meeting. The Corinthian brother could be meeting. What else could they have been doing? Well, go to Acts chapter 20. Here's another possibility that we have. Where did they come together? I don't know where they came together, but does it really matter? Well, we just need to look at some things that the Bible teaches. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message to midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they had gathered together. So they were meeting in an upper room is where they were at. So the question, it begs the question of, in the upper room, were they paying for that? Or was that free? Did some member provide that for them? You had the home, meeting in somebody's home. Could they pay for that? Well, obviously, it's a service rendered. And that's the point that we're talking about. We need to deal with that. You don't want to take advantage of members. If you want to move over here and we're going to worship, and we did, didn't we? I say we. You guys did just before I moved down here. But you were in Tina and Warren's place, right? You guys were worshiping in Warren and Tina's house. And they just gladly did that. Now, would it have been wrong for the church to give X amount of dollars just for the use of their building or their home? Nothing wrong with that. They didn't want it. Well, there wouldn't have been anything wrong with that. Why? Because you're paying for a service rendered. Get that. This is elementary stuff. I get it. Okay, very simple. But it's going to help because when you talk about elementary points, we're trying to establish a foundation. You can't begin to build on a foundation until you understand the foundation. So when I talk about some other principles, it makes your head scratch a little bit too. Oh, wait a minute. We already established this, so that's going to help us understand this. That's the way it works. This is why we need to really understand what's happening. So when we talked about evangelism and edification, the churches need to pay for services rendered, such as what? Okay, let me give you some examples. We've been discussing in our Bible class this morning from Ephesians chapter 4 that the church is to edify itself. Remember we read that. What's edify mean? To be built up. What are we going to need for that? I noticed the kids have their class material. I've noticed them getting their books. Okay, so here's a member. This member goes over to this store and buys class material. This guy is our treasure. She or he, okay, it's happened with both he and she here. We've all done it. I've done it. Gone there, purchased it, bought it, and then I gave the receipt to the treasurer. To Mark. Mark, you're going to reimburse me for the funds? Sure, I'll reimburse you for that. Wait a minute, let me get this. We're paying this person for something they did? Yeah, we are. Why? Because it's class material that is for the church.
Well, is that lawful? I mean, shouldn't we just gone over there and paint? Well, you're a member of the church. It's just like, let's not be too silly here. We understand this. I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't understand that we're paying for the material. Let's put it in a box, okay? We're the class material that was over in that school. We're paying for that. That's all we're doing. Is that lawful? Is the point? Well, yeah, because we're going to use the dollars for edification purposes, for teaching material to teach the members. We get that, right? I hope we understand that. That's lawful, guys, in the eyes of God. Are we making merchandise? Is this person taking advantage of the church, or is the church taking advantage of this person? Is anybody taking advantage of somebody? No, I don't see that. The only way I could see that is if we told, let's give this person a name. I don't want to pick on anybody here, so we'll call this person, we don't have a Sue here, so it's Sue. So Sue runs over, or we could have a Harry. You pick. I don't want to favor one sex over the other. So it's Harry or Sue. So how we could take advantage of Harry and Sue, we say, how much do you owe? How much do you owe? Well, I paid $40 for this stuff. Okay, we'll give you $20. What are you doing, Chuck? Well, you know, I mean, we got to save a little. No, you paid for that. That's the way that is. You know, we're going to give you what you paid for. As a matter of fact, does anybody think it would be wrong here if we gave this person, let's just say, $42 because this place was over in Owensboro and you had to spend a lot of gas money? Would it be wrong just to give you a little bit extra, you know, for your services? Person may or may not accept that. They may or may not accept it. But you understand that it's paying for a service rendered. Nobody's taking advantage of somebody. Now, could he take advantage of the church? Could he? Well, yeah. Harry could say it was $80. Well, Mark goes, can I have a receipt? A receipt? What do you want a receipt for? Well, because I want to know if it was $80. Not that I'm telling you that you're lying to me, but I want to know because as a church, if a person says, I want $80 and it costs $40, we're not being good stewards of the Lord's money here. So I get that. I understand that. So we get a little bit of the idea what's happening here. Now, let's turn over to Acts chapter 5. Because within all of this, and it's good to draw this out, because we have, again, things that we want to get known this week and the people that you know. I'm kind of excited about this. We need to get excited about this. But in Acts chapter 5, in verse 1, you got to get this phrase here. Because what the point I want to make now is the church is not to exploit their members. The church is not. Let's bring it home. The River Ridge Church, we do not want to exploit one another. If we're going to use the term church means the called out. And so if we're saying the word church here, we're not saying Chuck or Tim. We're saying the church. The church is all of us. We're all members up here. And if you say, well, is the church exploiting me? Are you exploiting yourself? The point is, but the church as a whole is not to exploit its own members. So we're not going to put undue pressure upon you guys. Get that? Here's our passage. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. A certain man named Ananias, his fire, his wife sold a possession, kept back part of the proceeds. He and his wife, being aware of it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Brethren, your money is in your control. Isn't that what we talked about in talking about contribution this morning? I can't tell you how much to give, but we spent a good long time this morning talking about how important it is to give properly. Giving is an act of worship. And God expects us to lay by in store, but he doesn't expect you to give what you do not have. But we also pointed out that you give according as you prosper, but the most important thing was first give yourselves to the Lord, as 2 Corinthians chapter 8 pointed out. These people gave beyond themselves. How? Because they first gave themselves to the Lord. A church full of members that have given themselves to the Lord, wow, that's what we are. We are members who have given ourselves first to the Lord. Having said that, don't exploit me. Don't exploit the church. Jim and I better not come up with some kind of scheme to siphon you guys dry. That's not our goal. Okay? It's not our goal. No pressure upon its members in any fashion. And that's what we discussed this morning. I think this is kind of a good 1-2 punch since we already discussed it this morning in our Bible study. The 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that we actually read this morning, and the verse that we didn't read, and then Mark brought it up. Okay, Mark, it was a good idea. Well, it was for tonight. But Mark mentioned, let's not forget verse 6. And he's right, because verse 6 in 2 Corinthians 9 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Okay. Now, we need to get down to some really practical applications of all that we've talked about so far. All right. Remember what we've talked about, folks. We have a building over. Okay? It doesn't matter if we have visitors or not. I don't have any problems with telling people that here's what the church needs to come up with. And we have funds that we're going to use, of course. But that's the money that we're needing. What are our options? Well, we go to a bank. Do we have a problem with the bank? Well, you know what? We were in a building and we paid money for it. You could have a landlord, right? We paid money to a landlord for almost 5 years. We were paying money to Stan. And that was fine. Why were we paying him, though? Why were we giving him money? Well, it was for services rendered. You let us worship in your facility. Well, was that best for the Lord's money? Were we just throwing money out the window? You know, we have people here who rent. Are they wasting their money? Well, no. You know, some people might think, well, man, the sooner you get your own place, the sooner you can build up, you know, something that you own, and your dollar's going to be stretched farther. Fine, you might have that as a goal, but you know, I've seen people argue that both ways, by the way. I'm not talking finances tonight, but I'll tell you that some people will say renting is the only way to go. Now, I'm not here to debate that point. I just want you to know there's some people who think that's the way to go with a family. They'll just say that. Okay, that's their opinion. But the point is, there are different avenues that are out there. And what about an individual? Okay? What if, you know, a guy that we don't know who owns this building, right? And he says, well, I'll let you guys move in there, and you pay me X amount of dollars a month. You see, there's just a lot of different ways that we can do this. But the point is, we will pay for what? We will pay for services rendered. We want a place to gather for what purpose? To worship God. It's for edification. It's to build us up. And not only that, it's a tool that is used for evangelism. Right? People come and visit. We preach the gospel. That's not our primary reason why we want a building. It's for evangelism. No, our primary reason is we want to gather together. They came together, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. They came together to worship God. And then, of course, you get over 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And he's mindful of the fact that you can have visitors. He says, when visitors walk in, you know, you're speaking in tongues and there's not an interpreter present in the first century, they'll think you're mad. So he says, be mindful of the unbelievers, the non-members, the visitors that come in. That's what I mean. The visitors that come in. So we kind of like that. We would invite people. So, services rendered. Could we rent for it? We're renting this place. Is it wrong to rent this place? What about this? What about that one? Does that change anything here? Does this change anything in the equation of a place to worship at? Whether the person's going to let us rent it? What if Stan was a member of the church? Could we have rented over there a three sharing place? Could we have gone there if he was a member of the church and paid him what we were paying on a monthly basis? Yeah! The fact that his brethren got nothing to do with it. Fact is that we are paying for services rendered. We want to assemble in a place. Now, we have a place over here that we want to go to. Now, we as brethren, as a church, we need to think about what's acceptable to God and what's not acceptable. If we get 40 members of the church and they all give $5,000, what do you have? $200,000, right? So I'm just gonna let's just say this is $200,000. This saves time. So if brethren say, okay, I want to give $5,000 towards this building to help get that building, or a bank says, I'll give you $200,000, or an individual says, I'll give you $200,000 to get that building, or 40 brethren say, I'll give you $5,000 to purchase that building. Well, what can we do as a church? Well, we can say, you give us the $200,000, we'll give you $100,000. We'll take advantage of it. Well, no, that wouldn't be right. That would be lawful. But we want a services rendered. What's this for? It's for this. Okay? So that money purchases this building. That money purchases this building. That money purchases this building. We pay this person. We pay this person. We pay this person. That's what we do. We pay them for services rendered. Now, this is all part of you. You say, Chuck, where's the Bible in all this? We read all those verses, guys. We need to understand the work of the church and what we're doing in churches coming together. And you need to be informed of what's going on, what's happening here. Now, listen, guys. I went and I preached the gospel in a meeting in West Virginia 2 weeks ago. Right? I want to ask you a question. When I got there, for services rendered, for preaching, they gave me X amount of dollars for preaching the gospel. I don't know if you knew that happened, but that happens. We pay people when they come and hold us a meeting. You know, they're coming here, they're giving us their time and their effort. Now, when I went there, I drove 500 miles there and 500 miles back. They gave me this plus travel expense. Did they have to do that? Not necessarily. Did they want to do it? Yeah. Was I wrong in taking X amount of dollars for the travel expenses? Not at all. And you know that there are churches that support me. Churches that support me. Been a while ago, but I remember one church supported me and said, Chuck, due to inflation, we want to give you $30 a month more. Is that wrong? They're supporting me to preach the gospel. They want to give me a cost of living increase. Well, that's their call, right? That's not my call. That's their call. You want to do it? Would I turn down $30? You know, the point is, you want to give me this? That's fine if you want to do this. So, it's all for services rendered. But you know there's judgment in these, right? There's judgment calls. But it's all under the area of authority. Where does this church get off sending me money? Evangelism, right? We studied it. Evangelism. They're supporting me to preach the gospel. This church in West Virginia, I come and preach the gospel. It's under the area of evangelism. They want to help. Okay, guys. Now, the church does not exploit its members. This church, Tim and I are not saying, come on, guys, cough up $5,000. Come on, give us $5,000 each. No, we're not doing that. We're not even telling you to do this. But what we're saying is, with the bank and all their closing costs and all the money that they want, you know, we as a church are trying to think of, okay, let's make wise decisions. Let's be good stewards, as we talked in our Bible study this morning. So let's do what's wise. And this bank is saying, here's your closing costs, and here's the money it's going to cost you per appraisal. It's going to cost you an extra $10,000 if you go through a bank. Well, is there any way we can cut that out of there? Well, maybe there's some brethren who want to help us. I was actually told of a brother who is a multimillionaire who could. They said, Chuck, you want me to mention? I said, well, not right now. They're saying, Chuck, why didn't you do it? The point is, whether it's one brother or 40, if people want to contribute and we're paying them, well, what are we paying them for? Now, let's get back to our opening passages in John 2 and Matthew 21. Can the church be a house of merchandise? How are we going to do that? They've actually paid for this. No brother would do this. Okay, no brother would do this. This is hypothetical, guys. But let's just say me. I'll pick on me. Let's say I gave $5,000. I would not do this, but I could go in there and I'll say, you see that portion of that building, that wall there? I paid for that. Kind of, right? It's like class material. You know, but I was reimbursed, so it's not really mine. It's the church's. I was reimbursed for it. You see, so do this, and the church pays me $5,000 back. Well, even before they paid the $5,000 back, that's not my wall, okay? You understand. It's not my wall, but I'm saying it's a service rendered. You're paying me for something that you are using, that we are using. We're using the $200,000 to purchase this building, and we're paying you for your funds. That's all we're doing. Now, this local church, just like with the inflation and not wanting to take advantage of brethren, not being a den of thieves and not making it a house of merchandise, what if we said, well, they're giving us that money for 5 years, which we are. We're going to tell them between 5 and 6 years, we'll pay it all back. It's kind of our goal. We'd like to pay every dime back. We'd be free and clear in 5 years. Okay? That'd be wonderful. Now, if we did that, you know, what if Tim and I says, you know, the agreement was we tell these people, let's pick one of these guys out of there, and we say, Jim, we want to give you like 1%. That's not much, but like, or let's just say we said 2%. I'll say 1. That's better for us. 1%. And, you know, because they all know this is not a financial investment to make big bucks. This is not the stock market. You know, this is not to retire on. In other words, we're boring. You're $5,000. We're going to give you $5,000 back. And the word is that when we get it out, and you tell your friends and neighbors, you tell brethren, anybody that wants to help out, only if you want to. Remember, we're not going to exploit members. We've let this word out. And we've had churches I wasn't there. But we had elders in congregation get up and tell them exactly what I'm telling you right now. They're saying, this is not the work of the church here. You on an individual basis, the elders got up and said, you on an individual basis, if you want to help out with this venture up there out of your own pocket now, respecting church autonomy, their elders are not saying, hey, you do this. They're not doing that. Matter of fact, their elders won't even know what's going on. It's got nothing to do with them. It's on an individual basis. Okay? So an individual can, and they're going to send me an email. They're going to say, Chuck, put me down for this. Tim, put me down for this. Tim calls me up and says, I got a guy down for this. And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, enough. And so somebody calls and says, Chuck, I'll give you this. We write a message, but don't need it. Now, why don't we take more? Hey, man, all of a sudden we find out we received $1 million. Let's take it and buy a better building. Why won't we do that? Because we're not in a financial position to do that. We are, however, in a financial position to pay them back, just like we would with the bank. Now, with the bank, they're going to want a 25 years because of all the interest that is on that. They're interested in making money off of us, okay? But brethren, they're not doing it to make money off of us. But if we want to help them a little bit, if over a period of 5 years and we give them a percentage back, with the cost of inflation, they're not making money. So we don't want to take advantage of them. They're not trying to take advantage of us. They're not saying, oh, Chuck, we'll give you $5,000. If I got an email tonight that said, Chuck, I've got $100,000 I want to give you guys so you can build that building up there, and all I want is 25% interest. Thanks for your generosity, but no thanks. Why? Because we can't afford that. We can't afford that as a church. And you might say, well, I think he's got problems. Well, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He can ask. You can always say no, right? And so we put it out in the sense, and we're going to put it out this way, which I want you to put it out with your friends, and say, look, if you're willing to help, please let us know how little of amount of return you want. Okay, so if a person says, well, Chuck, here's $5,000. I just want $5,000. If you just bring me $5,000 back, I'll be happy. $5,000. Okay. Why are we doing that? It's for services rendered. What service? Purchasing a building. Buying class material. Preaching of the gospel. Whatever it might be, it needs to be done in a way that, what, respects church autonomy. And, of course, it doesn't make merchandise, and we're not a den of thieves. We are just simply Christians that have come together, and we want to worship God. We have a place to gather, and there are... And now, yeah, have churches been doing this for years, by the way? Oh. Churches have been doing that for years. Does it make it right? Not because they do it. I'm just saying, these different ways of doing things have been around for a very long time. Now, you guys probably heard me say last week the possibility of bonds for these individuals. Well, the reason we're not doing that anymore, because we just heard from the company that handles that, you know, the bank saving $10,000, the bond people want $16,000 to handle bonds. So you know what we do down here? All it is you just get a lawyer, an attorney rather, which is the same, and they just drop a formal paper, and each person, these 40 people, they get a promissory note, basically just something that says, the River Ridge Church of Christ is going to pay you back, just like we would sign documents up here with the bank, we're going to pay you back in 5 to 6 years the money that you have given, and it'll be on that. And so when you think about that, it's just a process that we're doing in order to take care of this. Now, what would be ideal if we already had the money? Right? And you could save and save and save and save and save. Now, the problem with that is, how would you ever get to this amount when you're sitting there going, well, we need to balance this with where we are, how are the facilities, how much room do we need, and what do we want to accomplish? You got to take all those things into consideration. Guys, there's many different options out there that are local. So in the area of general authority, what we are doing here as Christians is making sure that we do things that are approved by God, working within our budget. Why would we do this if we couldn't pay these people back? You think about that. Why would we do this if we couldn't? Why would we go here if we couldn't pay them back? Why would we rent from Stan on 3 Sharon Place if we couldn't make our rent payment? Why would we do that? We would not be able to do that. And it would be wrong to do that. You pay for a service. Now, them going ahead and using the money to purchase this is the same thing as if one of you come up to me and say, Chuck, here's the receipt. Or you go up to Mark and say, here's the receipt for things that I purchased with my own money, and I just want my money back. That's all. Okay, there's nothing wrong, folks. That's an agreement that we have. That's an agreement. Now, what would be wrong, you know where things would get wrong there? Is if somebody goes off and spends, I don't know, $5,000 on some little item that they thought would be cool for the kids' class. What? No, we're not. You take that item back. $5,000? What'd you buy him? A gold chair to sit in? You know, I use an extreme here so you understand that there can be dangers that you have to be on top of. And that's why you keep things out in the open. You talk about it so you guys are not in the dark. And you know how the church functions and what we're doing. And so therefore, we are going to be paying monthly. These people, they won't probably be monthly. They'll be under the impression that what will happen here is in about 3 months, in 2 months, it doesn't hinder our evangelists. We don't want to do anything up here that says we can't preach the gospel anymore. We can't afford it. We can't do TV. We can't do radio. We can't print the bulletin. We can't do anything. We can't even buy class material because we're so caught up in buying this building. No. We don't want to get something. That's why we don't want to spend $1 million. We wouldn't be able to afford anything. We have a work to do here that God expects us to do. So we don't want to overextend ourselves in the work that we're doing right now. And so we're saying, okay, X amount of dollars. And so what happens in 2 months? What Mark Case will do after 2 months, and we're all our regular expenses that we would have on a month-to-month basis, we have accumulated extra money in 2 months. We have another $5,000 through our contribution. This is now 39. We have in 2 months, we've grown. Wow, we have even more contribution. In 2 months, we've got an extra $10,000. We take two more people off of this. In other words, we want this finished as soon as possible. You have a member show up, and all of a sudden Mark counts the collection plate. This is not going to happen. I don't see it happening. But he adds up the collection plate on Sunday. One Sunday, he goes, $50,000? Who put in a check for that? Well, guess what? He just cut off 20 people. Is that 20? I don't know. But anyway, you get the idea. I know that's four. I don't know. I'm losing it here. I couldn't even remember Zach's name this morning. I'm working with numbers. This is not good. This is why I'm not the treasurer. But the point is, I just preach. And I'm trying to get you to understand, guys, that we don't want to do anything that gives the church the appearance of doing something that's unlawful. We need to do things that are right. And so it's not wrong for you to go home tonight. If you have that person that told you 10 years ago, man, if you're ever needing $50,000, give me a call. Call them. But anyways, but understand that this is what it's all about and what we're trying to accomplish, folks. And so I hope you see that it is important for we as Christians to do things that are right in the sight of God. Now, to put things in simple terms for what this church has been doing, do you get this, folks? You kind of got the figures up here in your head, but get this. This local congregation takes in a contribution yearly, $75,000. $75,000. And with no growth, at $75,000 a year, how long would it take to pay it back? Well, you say, well, Chuck, let's do the math. That's 3 years. Well, yeah, we don't spend it on anything else, but we have other stuff, right? We're not going to cut back on our evangelism. We're not going to do that. And we're not going to cut back on our teaching material. There's teaching. The class material gets expensive. So there's just other things. We're going to have gospel meetings. It's going to be great. Can't do it in here, but we get there. There's just other expenses. And when we get there, we don't pay heat and hydro. We will have expenses there. So anyways, this helps you see clearly what the church here is doing. And you are a part of that as members. And so Tim and I want you to be informed as to what we're doing. And we're letting the word out. But it's just not us. You can let the word out. I've had brethren from nearby congregations say, let us know. Folks, feel free. Let them know. But let them know what we're doing. Let them know how it's going to be done. And if they call you up and say, well, how much can I make out of this? That's really not the purpose of this. We're looking for people who are willing just to help us out, but we don't want to take advantage of them either. I think it would be wrong for us to take advantage of people. Do you think a bank is going to let us take advantage of them? Oh, I tell you what, you loan us the money and you pay us 1%. No, the bank was going to charge us 5%. I mean, he just told me that straight up. That's what's going to cost. Even with all the low rates that are out there, because we're a church. And so, with these brethren, they understand that it's not in it to make money. And we're not in it to make money. We're not asking people to give us all this money. We're going to throw it in a money market fund and or put it in the stock and stock exchange. I'm not good at buying money. And try to double our money or take it down to the casino. We're not going to do that. We know that. Anyways, I didn't talk tonight about becoming a Christian. But folks, as Christians, we have a responsibility. Since giving is an act of worship, if we spend the money in an improper way, and you just go along with it, you're just as guilty. So it's good to ask. I'm glad the member came up and talked with me, and we discussed it and thought it through. And people that would gain something from it. I'll even use the person's thought process. He came up with this. I did, what a pass by. But the person came up with this analogy by saying, well, even if I was, what if I was the president of this bank. I like the analogy, because if I was the president of this bank and got a loan from you, I would be personally benefiting from this financially. And he would have been. It wouldn't have been wrong, but he would have been benefiting from it. If he took our loan and he's a part of that bank, wouldn't have been wrong. It's, again, it's services rendered, folks. That's the focus within all of this. Tony has selected a closing song up there in the corner, 346. Folks, if you have any questions, I'm going to leave this up here. I know it's confusing. I'll leave it up here. You come up to me and say, Chuck, I've been thinking about this for days, for weeks, for months. I don't know how long. But you want to come up and you say, Chuck, I got a question for you. Well, what about this? Good. Because I want to think it through, and I want you guys to be fully persuaded. As a church, we need to be behind 100%. Get excited about it. I am excited. But if you have some questions about your spiritual state, please, that's more important than dollars and cents. Way more important. Be right with the Lord. If you're not a Christian, become one. And if you're a child of God that's not right in His sight today, you need to be restored. And we, as a God's family, we love you and care for you and want to help in any way that we can. So you're subject to the invitation. Let it be known as we stand together and sing.
It won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall descend. And then the dead in Christ from beds of clay shall rise to meet the Lord and King up yonder in the skies. It won't be very, very long. It won't be very, very long till Jesus shall appear. That day is surely drawing near. Will you be ready then to meet the crowd of ransom throng? Get ready, Lord, and for that day it won't be very, very long. It won't be very long till here we cease to roam. It won't be very long till all the saints get home. And then with smiling face we'll walk the streets of gold and sing the Savior's praise, for saints are never old. It won't be very, very long. It won't be very, very long till Jesus shall appear. That day is drawing near. Will you be ready, ready then to meet your ransom from? Get ready for that day. It won't be very, very long. It won't be very long till earth shall pass away. It won't be very long till works of men decay. But Jesus has prepared a happy dwelling place for all who look above and trust His matchless grace. It won't be very, very long. It won't be very, very long till Jesus shall appear. That day is surely drawing near. Will you be ready, ready then to meet your crowned ransom throne? Get ready, Lord, for that day. It won't be very, very long.
Been good to be here this evening. It's good to have everyone. Remember all those that are on the roll. Remember Piper and Warren. And also, we forgot to mention to Dan, but Pam Bays at Northwest, she's going in and having a biopsy on the spot on her lung this coming week. So we want to remember her as well. As far as the building thing, I only have one thing to say. And to me, it's a good thing what we're going through right now. Even if we hadn't had the fire, if you look around every Sunday morning, you look around now, we've outgrown where we left. We really have. So we you know, it's a good thing. You know, I'm not saying the fire is a good thing, but needing another place is a good thing. So if there's nothing else, Keith?
We came in after announcements. I don't know if it was announced, but just a heads up, Wednesday, there is going to be a spring program at 7 p.m. in the gym for the school here. So this parking lot is going to be completely packed. So you may want to get here a little early. Otherwise, you're going to be probably walking from up the hill there. So just want to give everybody a heads up. There's going to be a lot of cars here, a lot of people here at 7 on Wednesday. So just a heads up.
Nothing else. We'll have a closing prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day and all the blessings thereof, for coming together again this afternoon to look upon thy word and study upon it. Pray, Father, that we be strengthened each other. We pray that we look into thy wisdom for guidance. Pray for those that are away from us, that for whatever reasons they may be, return to us and once again strengthen and encourage us. And ultimately, Father, to present thy words to others. We pray that we have the confidence and the boldness to do that as we go out to our respective communities. We pray that you forgive us our sins at this time. In Christ's most holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen.